Hey, it's Tony Bruschi, and this is our Week in Review. Over the weekend, taking a look back at some of the most compelling conversations and stories that we've covered for you of the last week. Brand new episodes back Monday morning, bright and early, 5 a.m. here on the podcast.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
You know, sometimes it's got to be hard to be Alec Murdaugh, doesn't it? You know? You work all your life. I mean, you steal all your life from people around you. You lie around every single corner, and your whole life is this giant falsehood, and then suddenly you have to pay for it. Okay, technically maybe it's hard, but you kind of painted yourself into that corner, so you kind of deserve everything you have coming at you, including not having the right to dip into your $160,000 in your liquidated retirement account to pay for your attorneys. Yes, that's right, my friends. Alec is getting down to the end of his money, and very soon we're likely going to see public defenders assisting him in his future legal woes, unless you see people like Harpootalan, others say, oh, we'll do this pro bono. But I don't know. I don't think a lot of people enjoy working for free, especially for someone who doesn't really seem to have a very strong case of being wrongly accused and we're fighting for justice. It's more like, how much of your time on this earth do you want to waste standing behind someone like Alec Murdaugh? You know, that's, I think, the big question. He was consigned to two back-to-back life sentences in early March following his conviction, the tragic shooting of his wife, Maggie, and their younger son, Paul. It took place June 7th of 2021 at Moselle, which is the name of the family's expansive hunting estate. Come on down to Moselle. We'll have a scotch. I'll tell you a bunch of lies, maybe take some money from you, and then you can go on your way. Judge Daniel Hall rendered the decisive verdict on Friday of last week, ruling out Murdaugh's hope to tap into that 401k. Although $160,000, quite honestly, when you're fighting like this, doesn't go all that far. The court order, replete with grave deliberation, stated defendant Richard Alexander Murdaugh's motion for payment of attorney's fees and costs from untainted funds is denied, basically because all of his funds are tainted. There's not an area of his life where you can truly look at any of his money and go, yeah, this isn't somehow gotten by bad acts or illegal ways. Eric Bland, he's the attorney that had previously secured settlements for several families who accused Murdaugh of embezzling their settlement during his stint as their attorney, vigorously opposed this request. Bland aired his relief and satisfaction at Judge Hall's decision, underlying the victory against Murdaugh's attempt to appropriate the $160,000 in fees for his appeal. He contended that it would be inequitable to Murdaugh's victims and creditors if he were allowed to seize that money and secure a preferential position. Because keep in mind, all of his money, everything he has, the legal system is saying you owe this person this money, you owe that person money because he stole so much money. He doesn't have enough money to pay everybody back at the end of the day. That's the reality of this. But where that money is going to go should be going to anyone but Alec Murdaugh. Murdaugh's legal team set into motion an appeal of his conviction and sentencing a week after his conviction. The disgraced lawyer is now currently held in solitary confinement at the Kirkland Reception and Evaluation Center. His ensuing 45-day period of evaluation, a routine process of the South Carolina Department of Corrections, subjects every prisoner to going to determine his permanent place of incarceration. We've heard from him already saying he'd rather not be locked away by himself. He'd rather take his chances in the yard. I say have at it. Why are we protecting him at this point? Given his status as a convicted double murderer, Murdaugh is slated to share quarters with the state's most ruthless and violent inmates. So he's getting out there. He's going to eventually get there with some other folks. They're going to match him up really well. You know, remember like when you're in grade school and the teacher goes, I'm going to match you up with kids I think that you'll get along with really well. And usually it works, but sometimes they run out of kids to match you up with and you end up with the bully and you're the nice kid. Well, can't say Alec is the nice kid, but I don't know that he really is going to get along super well with the super murderers and rapists and such. I don't know. Maybe he will. He seems to have a way with people. Murdaugh's lawyers, Dick Harpootalin and Jim Griffin, had earlier insinuated their plans to file a notice of appeal within 10 days of his sentencing. On March 9th, Harpootalin announced via Twitter, "Today, Griffin and I filed our notice of appeal for Alec Murdaugh. This is the next step in the legal process to fight Alec's constitutional rights to a fair trial." I can't do a very good Dick Harpootalin impersonation. I'm sorry if I let you down. During the trial, the jury was presented with testimonies of more than 75 witnesses, along with nearly 800 pieces of evidence. These comprised accounts of Murdaugh's treachery against friends and clients. That's putting it nicely. And treachery is not a word you use often. His botched attempts to fake his own death for insurance fraud, a deadly accident implicating his son, the mysterious death of a housekeeper at the Murdaugh residence, and the horrific tableau of the murders. Despite the absence of direct evidence, such as murder weapons, confessions, or blood splatter, prosecutors marshaled an avalanche of circumstantial evidence that was really, you know, you watched it, you paid attention, you couldn't really deny it. It included video footage placing Murdaugh at the murder scene mere minutes before his wife and son ceased using their mobile phones indefinitely. This was the place where Alec said he was not, and then came back towards the end of the trial and said he was lying at the other part of the trial. He's lied about all this and he's lied about that, but I didn't lie about this. Clifton Newman, the judge, casketed Murdaugh as a monster who persisted in lying even in the face of damning evidence. In the grim aftermath of all this, Murdaugh's future, it looks dark and ominous. Stark contrast to his otherwise privileged existence. He's got to be adjusting to that. As he sits in Kirkland, over 1,700 of the state's most violent criminals, every single day, you got to imagine he's put several of them away himself, and they may be looking to say hi again, you know, go for a little sit down, maybe meet in the yard or the shower or, I don't know, some place where you might get shivved. And that's just the intake facility. Yes. Adjacent to the intake facility that we've been talking about is the Broad River Correctional Institution, accommodating both high and medium security inmates. Disturbingly, between 2015 and 2021, more than 700 prisoners met their demise within South Carolina's prisons and jails. Majority of these deaths took place at Kirkland, 160 of them. Broad River. How'd you like to have that for stats? Like, hey, guess what? You're going to be staying at this place. And furthermore, surprise, surprise, your chances of surviving are not very good. It's almost like staying at a hotel and saying, it's going to catch on fire at some point. Let's hope your room isn't one of them. You don't have sprinklers and you're locked in there. 700 prisoners dead between 2015 and 2021. That to me almost just seems utterly disturbing. Like, that seems high. That seems really high. I don't know. I don't know what prison death stats are, but I don't know about this. I mean, I'm fine with it for him, but I'm like, geez. South Carolina Department of Corrections outlined the impending charges for Murdaugh as part of the intake process. He'll be subjected to a series of medical tests, mental health assessments, and educational evaluations. The department will also collect additional background information. So if you've been asking and wondering, what does the future hold for Alec Murdaugh? Well, more trials, that's for one, and I'm sure he's going to try and get out any time he possibly can to go to court, to go to trial, so he's not sitting in the place where More than 700 prisoners have met their demise in the last 8 years. I'm curious, with all the charges against this man and people knowing what he did, will he make it to his future trials? Like, will he survive long enough in the prison system to face justice for every single person that he has wronged? Only time will tell.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
We learned something new there today. 700 dead in the last 7-8 years in the system. Wow. I don't know if that's high or not. I'm going to look into that. You want to weigh in on any of the cases that we are following for you? We'd love to hear from you. We got a phone number for that. It's 888-554-5537, 888-5-KILLER, to weigh in with your feedback. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.